Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Cullop, along here with Scott Micklin.
Good morning. It is Thursday, December 17th.
It is.
How about that, right?
How about that?
39.
No, 40.
Are we at 40?
Remember we talked about the COVID baby?
Yeah. Now that you mentioned it,
and you're like,
we sure did.
Remember how we promised to never talk about the COVID baby again?
That's right. The gestation period of the COVID baby is this week, apparently.
Yeah, week 40.
Okay. Well, anyway, welcome, everybody. We're glad that you are with us. We are wearing Christmas
festive
attire
things
today.
So
this is our last program for a couple of weeks. We're going to take a little break.
So this is our last chance to show the audience
happy birthday, Jesus.
Happy birthday, Jesus, of course, consistent with this host.
Yeah.
And then I analyzed this suit this morning because the only thing that's kind of weird is the flamingo float.
Yeah.
So my theory is it's a Vegas Christmas because it's like very neon-y.
Right.
I don't know if neon-y is a word, but yeah.
Yeah. Because it's got a lot of Christmas stuff on it, but then there's like a
pink
flamingo
float.
Pool float.
Like pool float.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. It was on sale.
Let's guess how on clearance the suit was.
You know?
So was the sweater, to be fair.
Hashtag 2020, everybody.
Yeah.
That's it. But anyway, but we're glad that you are with us. We hope you're going to have a happy and safe holiday season. Mm-hmm. And as I said, this is our last program for a couple of weeks. We're going to take a couple of weeks off. The college is going to close down, as they always do. But we'll come back in January. We're going to be back on Thursdays in January with the same information, same local guests. But our mission has not changed. It's sharing local information about COVID-19 and getting that information out to everybody. So that is our plan.
That's our plan.
And that's what we're going to do. And bring on great guests like our first guest.
Yeah.
Right?
Guess who?
Okay.
It's the mayor.
It is the mayor. Who was patiently standing by, probably waiting for us to introduce him.
To shut up and stop talking about Christmas attire.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mayor Nate Duckett from the city of Farmington is on the program this morning. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. We're glad to have you with us.
Good morning, everyone. How are you all today?
We are well, thank you, and thank you for being here. And so we invited you on to talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening with COVID in the community, of course. And I know the latest was a little bit of an amendment to the public health order this week, which kind of got rid of that 75-person max occupancy of some of the bigger stores in town, because that was really causing some very long lines out in front of these stores. So obviously I would think you'd feel that's a positive improvement.
No, I think it's a great improvement, Scott. And you know, when you're looking at people standing in line in freezing weather, it just makes you sit there and question exactly what the purpose is in doing that. So I have to tell you, there was a handful of mayors who were on the mayor's council that had been pushing back on that. And I was certainly forwarding every email I was receiving from community members describing the difficulties they were having, and especially with individuals with disabilities and the elderly. And you have to think a number of those who shop here in Farmington drive multiple hours to get here and to utilize grocery stores, and to show up and have to wait in line for, you know, I don't know, Walmart, Sam's Club on Sunday afternoon, the lines were outrageous. So I was happy that the communication that we were sending was getting through to the governor's office, and they were able to make that amendment.
Yeah, and I have a follow-up question about that, and good morning, Mr. Mayor. Can you guess who this is?
Good morning, Rock and Rev.
Yeah, that's me. So I have a question.
Why does he have a nickname for you?
Because he's great,
okay.
And we have a great chummy thing. Anyway, so
made it worse. And, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Okay, let's go back to the 75
yes.
people. So you said there were a number of mayors. Is it most mayors in New Mexico? Is it just rural mayors versus city mayors? What was the process there?
Well, I can just tell you that, I mean, there's 10 mayors that were selected after the governor. This is back in, I think, May, when she formed the Mayor's Council and the Economic Recovery Council. And there was 10 of us chosen to serve. And so the mayors, you know, the mayor of Cloudcroft, the mayor of Rio Rancho, Clovis, Mayor of Albuquerque, Santa Fe. You know, these are the ones that are on the call. Red River is also on the call, and a couple other smaller communities. But the mayor of Clovis, myself, and the mayor of Rio Rancho, from the very beginning, pushed back. And I mean, the Daily Times did an article on an email that I had sent to them, sent to the governor's office right off the bat, that these are essential goods that people need to have. This isn't a pair of pants. You know, this isn't, you know, a toy for Christmas. This is milk and bread and eggs. And why would we force people to stand in the cold to do that? They're all going into the store. There's, if you're concerned about the stores being, you know, a focal point of where infection is happening, whether you've got 75 people in there or 125 people in there, they're going in the store. And then the difference between a store like Walmart, where you're talking about 100,000 square feet, versus a store like Family Dollar or, you know, Natural Grocer, there's a big difference there between what 75 people look like in those stores. And I think the initial thought was, where does the number 75 come from? Is that a scientific number? You know, everything had been based on capacity, which is justified by square footage. And now we're tossing that out. And where's the evidence that shows that, you know, the grocery stores are that focal point? Now, on the grocery store part, I think it's easy to say, well, a majority of people have to go to the grocery store. So if you're doing your contact tracing, where have you been in the last week? Well, I had to go to the store. So I can see where that, you know, that may have come up, and they deemed that, you know, limiting, you know, access to it. But again, this isn't Lowe's, this isn't Home Depot. These are stores where you have to buy food, you know. And I think to the point, there certainly is options available to people to utilize smartphone technology for delivery of groceries, for pickup of groceries, but not everybody has access to that. And I don't know how often we've heard on the governor's updates every week that we're the poor and we're the sickest state in the nation. Well, if that's the case, forcing people to stand outside in below freezing weather doesn't make that better. That's my opinion. So there's certainly, I'm very fortunate that I can have, you know, grocery store pickup done, but a lot of people can't. And I think those folks need to be kept in the forefront of every conversation we have about COVID restrictions.
Sure. Yeah. It's always a question of who's vulnerable and how do we help the most vulnerable. And keeping in the spirit of sort of amending these governor's order, advocating for our city, et cetera, which must, by the way, be a very difficult position for you to be in, balancing out all these conflicting messages, but with your constituency. But I have a question about schools, because I think that's another major point of frustration for a lot of people. And that's another question on our vulnerable population of children. And are the mayors also conversing about school policy?
You know, there's less conversation with the mayors on school policy, because the schools are a separate entity from what we have impact on. So on those calls, we haven't really talked at length about the schools. Obviously, you know, you're going to get the run of the mill opinions on it. I think, you know, half the mayors on there want to see teachers made essential workers and get kids back in school. And the other half are happy with the way things are. So it just depends on where you fall on certain lines. I think everybody agrees that kids need to be in school, that we're losing an entire school year. And I mean, just recently, you know, Farmington schools released information regarding the number of students that are failing classes and their determination to, you know, build in a new grading system so that they don't have kids who are going to fail. So it's just interesting way we're trying to adapt right now. It's the same thing with businesses, with the restaurants. You know, what's the answer for economic recovery? A lot of us think that the answer to economic recovery is allow these restaurants to open up under the COVID safe practices, of which they've all become certified with, and hold them accountable for those things. So We'll see.
Understood, Mr. Mayor. And I was going to ask you, too, we're now in this kind of three-color reopening plan, again, from earlier during this pandemic when the whole state was either open or closed. Now it's going to be a county-by-county reopening, dependent upon cases and spread and things like that. The latest map shows every county in our state now in the red zone, but I know San Juan County and I believe the city of Farmington and other municipalities in the community are all working towards that goal of going green and getting to that green level, which would maybe do some of the things you're talking about, right? Allow restaurants to reopen in a limited capacity, but allow more things to happen, schools notwithstanding as well. Is that your understanding as well? And is that kind of how the city is hopefully moving in that direction, or at least trying to remind folks to help us move in that direction?
Well, I think it's absolutely. I mean, we want to do whatever it takes within the rules that have been given to the communities to get back to some, you know, economic normalcy and deal with some of the mental health and physical health issues that we're seeing pick up. So if it's red, you know, red, yellow, green is the goal, then that's the goal we're going to work on. You know, I just find it interesting, and I'm sure other people do as well, that the governor said on her call the other day that we need healthy people to go get tested so we can get our numbers better. And I don't know. I mean, and there's a campaign out there for healthy people to go get tested. I just wonder how many healthy people are going to take the time out of the day to go and do that. So we need healthy people to get tested. The governor's told us that's how we can help get to green. So then let's do it. But it's just funny to go through this cycle. You know, early on it was, we only want asymptomatic people to get tested. And then it was, we want everybody to get tested. And then it was only asymptomatic people. And now we're back to, we need everybody to get tested so it makes us look better. And it doesn't address the fact that there's still, you know, there's still infected individuals out there with COVID and individuals who are obviously in certain situations where, based on their own health conditions, that if they do get COVID, they're going to be, it's going to be a rougher road for them. So those things still exist, but she's given us the rules. And so we encourage people who are healthy to go get tested. And the tests now that they're doing out in Kirtland, is a saliva test. It's much less evasive than the nasal test, and we would certainly like to get to green, that's for sure.
Exactly. And just a final question for you, Mr. Mayor, about with the advent of the vaccine, its arrival here in San Juan County just this week. I mean, all of our hopes are that things will start to diminish, hopefully with people still following the COVID safe practices, people getting tested. The vaccine certainly will help as we get it to our frontline healthcare workers, our folks in nursing homes and things along that line and the rest of the population. But do you think there seems to be light at the end of this dark tunnel, don't you think?
Absolutely. I always think that. And the vaccine certainly gives us that door to open to let that light in. So I'm interested to see, and I'll have to tell you this, Scott, I just have to brag about San Juan County and the Office of Emergency Management. You know, we're one of the first six destinations for the vaccine in New Mexico, and a lot of that has to do with the organization of the San Juan Office of Emergency Management and the partnerships that they've built and the weekly communication that we've had from the very beginning of this. I just commend Mike Mestis and Ali Rye and everybody involved in that operation for doing such a great job, Devin Neely, Georgette Allen, just appreciate the hard work. And that just speaks to really the nice environment that we've created here between government and private and, 501c3 nonprofits, just everybody working together for the benefit of this community and us getting the vaccine first, certainly shows that we are prepared for that. And I have no doubt that the distribution of it will go smoothly. So we'll see those, weekly shipments keep coming and hopefully turn the corner.
Yeah, I've certainly been very proud of the community myself, and you know, we get thrown into a situation that none of us would have even imagined, and I think so many people have stepped up to the plate on that one. And Mr. Mayor, before we let you go, can we ask you to maybe plug the Shop Local movement?
Well, there's a couple things I want to plug. One of those is the Shop Local Farmington San Juan County Facebook page. We've got a number of vendors on there that would love to sell you their goods for Christmas and all year long, really. So just a good opportunity for you to go on and see what's available here locally. We encourage you to take care of these, you know, our local entrepreneurs and merchants as best that we can. And I will tell you that I get a number of calls and feedback from those merchants who certainly appreciate and recognize that San Juan County is going above and beyond to support them. So we got to keep that going. Christmas is right around the corner, so there's still opportunities to do that. Also want to say thank you to our frontline healthcare workers just for the amazing job that they're doing. San Juan Regional right now has, you know, more COVID positive patients than they've had for the through this entire pandemic. I know they're stretched thin, just like hospital workers across the United States, certainly here in New Mexico. We just appreciate the hard work they're doing and just wanted to say thank you to them. The last thing I want to say is Merry Christmas to this community. You know, I did a reading of The Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas for Presbyterian Medical Services Festival of Trees. That's on Facebook. It's on YouTube. Check it out. It's a lot of fun. But as I said, the Grinch can't steal our Christmas. You know, Christmas is in the heart. It's the spirit of this community, the giving component, the service to others. So that's what Christmas is about. Let's remember that and make this the best Christmas that we can possibly make it.
That's right. Well, Mr. Mayor, as always, it's a pleasure to speak with you, and we haven't heard from you in a while, so thanks for jumping on the show with us.
I'm always available to you guys, just so you know.
Today is a good case in point. So.
And you guys, one last thing. I need to say this. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Rock and Rev, for doing the COVID updates from the very beginning. And it's an invaluable communication component, and just truly appreciate all you do.
Well, thank you for that. We're here at week 40, and we're going to keep going. So you're not done with,
we
not
are
done
here
with this yet.
For
so.
You and the community, yes.
So thank you, and Merry Christmas to the Duckett family. And we will talk to you again in the new year, Mayor Duckett.
That was wonderful. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. As Mayor Nate Duckett, he is joining us again on our COVID-19 community information program here on KSJE. So we appreciate his time.
We do appreciate his time.
He is always available. That is not a lie.
Yeah, the leaders of the community have been so gracious, especially since in week 40, you know, sometimes we get a little loopy and they're so gracious with us to continue to come
about.
On.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, that will take us to our next guest.
Yeah.
And we're happy to have her back with us from the New Mexico Restaurant Association, because we've heard a lot about how our restaurants are struggling, and we know that for a fact here in our community. We've talked a little bit about that and how they are doing statewide. But Carol White is joining us again on the telephone from her offices with the Restaurant Association. Ms. White, good morning, and thank you for joining us this morning on KSJE.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. Last time we spoke with you was probably, gosh, midsummer, I think.
Yeah.
And things were maybe a little bit different. Things were starting to reopen across our state, and outdoor dining, and everybody was getting into that and wanting to support. And here we are kind of shutting back down again. And so can you give us kind of an overview on the situation from your standpoint for restaurants throughout our state? How are they doing with all this?
Well, honestly, restaurants are demoralized. They're hopeless. They're depressed. I mean, it's a real concerning situation. We just did a survey, and 52% of restaurants say it's unlikely they'll still be in business 6 months from now. So, you know, we're very much looking forward to the possibility of a federal relief package, and then, you know, we believe that because the state has been the one that has shut us down, the state needs to come up with a relief package during the legislative session as well.
And are you hearing that may be a possibility, that they are at least open to your requests?
You know, the legislators are.
Yes.
You know, they're the ones that are closest to the people. They're the ones that are closest to the restaurants. And the legislators certainly see the need to assist these businesses that have been closed down through, you know, through no fault of their own.
Understood. And that is true. And then we had heard, we talked a little bit about some of the latest state monies that were available through a loan application or grant application, and it was specifically targeted for, I thought, the hospitality and dining industries across our state. Are you seeing more of this targeted aid going to maybe some of your restaurateurs who are suffering in our state?
Yeah, well, we were very surprised and happy that the governor saw a way for the hospitality industry to get those grants. And so we've been really encouraging our members to go for these grants and see how much they can get. You know, and it was up to $50,000. I don't know how many will get that amount, but it's certainly helpful. But if you think about it, they've been out of business for months now, and $50,000 doesn't go very far when they've got bills piling up, you know, and takeout is nice, but it does not pay the nut, you know, it doesn't pay the rent and everything else that has to be paid.
Right, and that was my concern, is the overhead costs of restaurants are so high. What about the payroll protection program? Have restaurants been able to utilize that well?
Not really. Because we weren't open, we couldn't really utilize that well. And think about it, you know, that was done early in April or May, and that was an eight-week fix, and this has been a nine-month problem. So, you know, we were able to hire back some of our employees because we were open to a capacity, and now we've had to lay them off again. You know, and that was the week before Thanksgiving. The week before the holidays, we have to lay off all of our employees again. We have a 25% outdoor dining capacity. Nobody's jumping up and down for that, right, in the middle of winter.
Sure, of course. Yeah, it's a little too chilly out there.
Unless you're maybe Las Cruces, but there's not a lot of places in our state that are...
not in the mile-high cities.
That are comfortable for outdoor dining in December.
Right.
That's for sure.
So, Carol, before we let you go, what are your suggestions in how we can help our local restaurants right now in this very trying time?
Well, you know, it is Christmas. Buy a lot of gift certificates, whether you use them soon or whether you use them when we get back open again. And then just pray for those restaurants to be able to make it through these very trying times.
Good point. Well, and we're hopeful, again, as we mentioned with the mayor, with the vaccine rolling out across our state and hopefully everyone kind of following some of these safe practices that we've been talking about for months and months, that cases will go down and things will be able to start opening up. And as we've talked about this, you know, the state now had this county by county reopening plan, and hopefully that will maybe benefit some of your restaurants and maybe some of the less hardest hit areas of our state. Is that something you hope for?
We actually have heard that it's going to be literally 20 to 30 weeks before any of our counties can meet those criteria, either one of those criteria. So it, you know, again, not a lot of hope in the governor's latest attempt at a new goalpost.
Understood. And I did want to ask too then, do we know how many restaurants have permanently closed since the start of this pandemic across our state? Is that something you are tracking?
We're trying to track it, and I have a list of 186 restaurants that have permanently closed. I'm sure there are more. And the sad thing about it is that, you know, if 200 restaurants close, that's 5,000 people that are on unemployment that won't have a job to return to. So we really need to protect these businesses and make sure, not just for the business owners, but also for those employees who rely on those businesses as their job.
Right. And we are certainly empathetic towards that. And we thank you, Carol Wright, for coming on the show and for all the work that you're doing to try to keep our folks employed and open. And so thanks so much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. That's Carol White. She is the executive director of the Mexico Restaurant Association, joining us this morning on our COVID-19 community information program. And that's rough. And especially in some of the smaller towns, maybe they just have, you know, a restaurant.
Right.
A grocery store. And that's all they have.
Certainly in this state, sure. There's plenty of places you drive through and you're like, well, I have a choice between the Taco Hut or this one other place. And,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's trying times for sure. But I appreciate her giving us some perspective on how this is happening, not just in San Juan County, but throughout New Mexico,
right,
unfortunately.
Right. That's right.
And so we appreciate both of our guests calling in this morning.
It's good guests.
Very good guests. And we'll get back to talking about some of the other things that we include on the program every time when we're together, which includes some of the testing schedules. And so let me call those up quickly here as I scroll back through to get to where we're...
There we go.
We are.
Oh.
Here it is.
Overshot. There we go.
So just, we haven't seen the list for next week yet, everybody. And so all we can tell you is that there is testing today, this afternoon at McGee Park from 2:30 until 4:00. And again, tomorrow at McGee Park from 9 a.m. until 10:30. I have no reason to believe there won't be any testing next week. Obviously, there may not be anything on Christmas Day.
Right.
But I would assume. And so, just to be clear, as soon as we see that, we're going to share that on our social media pages, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram for sure, when we get that testing information for next week.
I just had a good stocking stuffer idea.
What's that?
When you said the Christmas thing.
A swab?
Yeah. No,
a supply of swabs.
Sign your family up, right? And it's like the sign-up sheet. You just stuff it in the stocking. We're going to go. Our new Boxing Day is testing day.
Interesting.
Boxing Day, by the way, is the 26th.
Yes.
It's a Canadian thing.
A British thing.
Right.
Yep. Anyway. United Kingdom thing.
Yes.
There you are. Anyway, again, fill out the information, cvtestreg.nmhealth.org. 327-4461 is the number. And then, as the mayor was talking about, the saliva-based rapid testing is up and running, and they're open every day. So we know they'll be available next week. Again, I don't think they're probably going to be open on Christmas, but who knows?
Right. I mean,
maybe there's some dedicated
We never know.
But 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. out in Kirtland at the Judy Nelson Elementary School. That's on Road 6580 in Kirtland. You go on Road 6575 and then turn west on 6580 and follow the signs to get to the school, to where you drive in and get tested. And again, this is a different, as the mayor said, less invasive test.
Right.
So there is that. And of course, they are recommending that everybody get tested. It is a free test to any New Mexican in the state.
Right.
And that is part of the state's kind of commitment to just kind of testing and making sure we know where the cases are, the positive cases are, where the outbreaks are, things like that. And that will help us to reopen is the point, right? If we get a negative test.
Yeah, you certainly want to get it. I mean, well, gosh, now we're running down to the wire. I was going to say, before you gather together with family for Christmas, it would be helpful
to
know.
We're not supposed to gather together.
Well, I'm just saying, if you have, you know, like one person coming in from out of town.
Right.
If we know that we're COVID positive, we can stay away.
Yes. Anyway. True. But yeah, we're only a week out.
Yeah. So I don't know. So you'd have to do the rapid saliva thing.
That could do it. So there you go. Also, we want to remind everybody that there is a family flu shot clinic again tomorrow on December 18th from 12:30 to 1:30 at the public health office. 355 South Miller Avenue in Farmington. Again, you can register online before you arrive, but those are for flu shots. And as we talk about, you know, not overwhelming our hospital, we don't want them overwhelmed with a bunch of flu patients either while they're dealing with a bunch of COVID patients.
Yeah, certainly not.
Because we heard on Monday the additional numbers of COVID patients who are now in the hospital.
Yeah, it's getting pretty seedy out there. I read an article this morning from our news colleagues, the Farmington Daily Times, that, you know, now folks are stuck waiting in the ER for something to open up on the COVID floor, and we don't want that either. I mean, there's other emergencies that are happening.
True.
So,
well, and now there's two COVID floors, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember what Jeff Bourgeois told us on Monday. Mm-hmm. So they've had to expand to a second floor.
They did.
At the hospital. There's so many patients. Mm-hmm. So that is the current situation.
Yeah.
Numbers nationwide are, again, continuing to increase. Johns Hopkins, again, has been tracking these for these 40 weeks.
Low these 40 weeks. That's right. So we have number of confirmed cases in the United States is at 16,985,170. And the United States confirmed deaths, you know, we are now pretty well over 300,000, 307,552.
Exactly. And we're again seeing kind of daily records of new cases and new deaths from across our country. And I think we've been at 3,000 plus deaths each day for a while.
Right. It's just hard to imagine.
It is hard to imagine. Well, it's hard to imagine an entire, you know, 307,000 people gone since March.
Right.
You know, and we're not talking about the people that have recovered, but as we've learned from our doctors, even if you recover from COVID, you may have long-lasting health impacts or, you know, you don't just kind of walk out the same way you walked in.
Not necessarily.
Pre-COVID.
Right.
And so there are a lot of folks that are struggling with health impacts even after recovering from COVID-19.
Right. That's right.
And so anyway, our hearts and thoughts are with them.
That's right. Which is why, you know, San Juan Health Partners did set up the COVID to home program. And I think that's part of the plan is for these long haulers or these residual symptoms that you do still have a nurse practitioner checking in with folks who have gone home or maybe lucked out and didn't have to go to the hospital but are still sick.
Sure.
So we commend them and
exactly.
that planning.
You know, checking those oxygen levels, making sure they don't drop. And if they do, then what's next? You know, what do you do?
So, right.
And then, you know, keeps them out of the hospital, doesn't kind of take up a hospital bed that may be needed for a much more sick person.
That's right.
So with COVID. So there you are. Other numbers we want to share with you across our state, of course. Another 1,816 cases reported yesterday from the Department of Health in New Mexico for a total of 124,357 cases. San Juan County, we had been down back into the double digits, like 75, 80 cases. We were back up to 151 yesterday for a total now of 8,265. 43 additional deaths in New Mexico. We've seen very high numbers of deaths on a daily basis for 2,049, and three of those were from San Juan County, so we're now at 2,067. But we seem to be seeing a lot more recoveries, too. I think if you remember, we were having 400, 600 a day. Now this was 1,504 yesterday.
Right.
Recoveries.
Right.
For a total of almost 50,000. So excited about that. But as we said, those 50,000 may still have some serious health impacts from that. The other news stories that we're sharing, and again, during our kind of two-week hiatus, we will continue to share breaking stories about COVID statewide and locally on our website at ksje.com. Those daily updates that we get from the state and the Navajo Nation that you see there, in addition to some of the other things. So the Navajo Nation numbers, they were up by another 160 cases yesterday. They now have more than 20,000 cases on the Navajo Nation since March. And 731 deaths now. There were four additional ones reported on Wednesday. And then you see the third story there, which was what we talked to the mayor about, increasing the capacity limits for those essential retailers. And so in the color-coded rules that the governor has proposed, they're now at different capacity levels for those stores. And there was no longer this max of 75 in a gigantic Walmart that just seemed kind of didn't make a lot of sense to a lot of folks. And I'm glad that they changed it.
Yeah.
It took a little longer than I would have liked.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that they changed it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you have to sort of factor in, is it better for folks to spend 30 minutes outside closer to each other in a line?
Right.
You know, or spread out. And, you know, it's like, of course, you know, it's important to state throughout this whole thing that we've never done this before. Everybody's figuring it out as we go along. And so I'm empathetic to all of it, you know, compassionate towards all of it. So, but I would agree that seemed like a wise amendment. So
I agree too. Very true. We did get the graphs back from San Juan County. They kind of update these, I think, every other week. So they came out, like, I think, at the end of last week to show us how some of the averages, we talk about these cases on a daily basis. And of course the numbers can kind of go up and down. They average them out. And we've shared this before on the program of kind of how they are looking. So we can see the very high peak from the state, the pink line, if you will, on the graph way back in ended November.
Yeah,
I would say. And so how sharply that has gone down, that 2-week reset, you know, that happened
might have actually availed us much.
You know, we can kind of see where that kicked in and really dropped. So that's encouraging. The other lines you see on this graph, the green line is the Navajo Nation's numbers. The blue line is the San Juan County numbers. So our numbers haven't quite dropped off as sharply as the state numbers have. But they weren't that high to begin with, but that's how things are looking on an average around. And then the next graph I think is interesting because the county has now added that red line, which is the goal, I believe, to reopen, to get to that green level, right? And it kind of shows we have some work to do, but that's where we are. If you look at the red line, that's the goal. The yellow line are the cases that we're seeing on a daily basis. So you can see we've kind of peaked again back on November 20th or so, and dropping down on average. And then the number of deaths has kind of been creeping up to a max of about 20 on average back in early December. And now they're back down to about 14 on average.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the San Juan County cases per day goal. Mm-hmm. It's a little hard to tell what number that would be because we have the 0 to 100.
I think it's about 89.
Yeah, that seems right to me.
Is what I remembered. But yeah.
Yeah.
But that's where we're trying to get. And we're not there yet. But
we'll
keep showing you as we hopefully get closer to
that.
And so that was the idea. The state released its new map, and every county now is red. So no more. San Miguel has dropped off of the yellow.
Yeah.
And they've gone back to red. The rest of the state's now in red. And so that's kind of where we are for reopening and things like that. San Juan County, with the latest number, our positivity rate, according to this latest release, is 19.3%. I believe that's up from maybe it was 16 last time.
Yeah.
This is updated every 2 weeks.
Right, right. And I'm looking at the test positivity at 5% or greater, and that's why we're in the red. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So,
because we want 0.9%, right, for green?
I think that is green.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, but even yellow. At this point, I'll take yellow for a little while.
You exactly.
Know? I'm okay
exactly.
with going to yellow first.
Exactly. You know? We'll take any good news.
Exactly. But that's kind of where we are on that map from the state. We'll check the watch list, too, today. Again, that gets updated every day. There are a few new companies that are on the watch list. This is the rapid responses, as we've learned, that's not necessarily individual cases, but every time that the state or
has to go out and contract do, trace.
Right.
Contact trace.
That's
excuse
it.
Me.
From a case or cases
right.
at a business. And so here we are with Southwestern Private Services, and Shiprock has 4. The AT&T store, East Main Street, has 2. Chenault Consulting in Farmington has 2. Enterprise Products in Farmington has 2. Process Equipment and Service Company has 2 cases, 2 contact tracing responses, rapid
right.
responses, pardon me. Safeway on East Main has 2. Taco Bell, 2226 East Main. I would call that the Midtown Taco Bell.
Yeah, you're
has 2.
Right, you're a frequent Taco Bell patron.
I am
so.
Known to patronize a Taco Bell or 2 in my day. Yeah. So,
but
we have 3.
Week,
we have to kind of be specific as to which Taco Bell
right.
we're talking about.
Right.
This would be the Midtown Taco Bell.
Okay.
Not the East Side or West Side. Uptown,
right.
Downtown.
Right.
Midtown.
Right.
Yeah. Vetra Bank, Colorado on 20th Street has 4. Rapid responses. The Supercenter Walmart on West Main has 4. East Main Walmart has 4. McCormick Elementary School in Farmington has 2. Piedra Vista High School has 2. Ojo Amarillo Elementary has 3. In Fruitland, Central High School in Kirtland has 2. And Shiprock High School in Shiprock has 2 rapid responses.
Yeah.
So in checking the closer.
Which is interesting, side note, because
yeah.
high schools are not open right now.
But teachers are still going to,
some,
you know,
some
staff
of them.
And teachers
yeah.
are still going on to site. So
yeah.
that's probably what's happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are no closures in our county. After the West Main Walmart, you know, the state, again, changed some of those rules and allowed these essential stores to be open if they start a regular testing regimen for their employees.
Right.
And so they're not having to close, even if they have these 4 rapid responses like we see the Walmarts do.
Right.
Both. So there is that. So that's the latest on that report to share with you this morning. A couple other things we wanted to pass along to you while we're together on the program, of course, is another Echo Food Bank and Shamrock Foods food distribution. This is happening right now as we're speaking here on Thursday at Nagizi Chapter House until about 11 a.m. But there is a food distribution at Nagizi going on this morning. So we wanted to share that with you. If you're in that part of San Juan County, certainly make yourselves available to that opportunity. And you can call the Nagizi Chapter House at 960-7200. And these are also going to have some backpacks for children K through 8th grade, but the children must be present to pick those up. So
yeah.
that's going on today until 11 a.m. And then we also wanted to make sure we let folks know about this other dairy, meat, and produce food box distribution planned for today over in Bloomfield. December 18th at 4 p.m., First Baptist Church in Bloomfield.
Great.
And so that is happening as well. And I think last but not least, the Echo Food Bank, again, since they're doing all these food giveaways, it'd be nice to kind of replenish their supplies.
Correct.
And so there is this food drive going on for the Chamber of Commerce. You can drop off food at the Quality Center for Business here at San Juan College, 5101 College Boulevard. The Levitt Group, Kaiser Levitt Insurance Agency, and the Kaiser Office Complex, that's literally across from the Civic Center on 300 West Arrington. They are accepting food over at their office. Also at the Courtyard by Marriott, 560 Scott Avenue, which I believe was open 24/7. It's a hotel. So you can pop in there, just go inside the front door, you can drop it off. And another sponsor, you can't drop off food here, but Remax of Farmington is another sponsor of this food drive.
Yeah. And, you know, always, as always, I like to say that you can also donate financially to Echo Food Bank. They are able to buy food at cost, so to speak. So
that's right.
More bang for your buck.
Really cheap cost. I mean, inexpensive because they buy such bulk. They buy so much of it.
Right.
They can really get some good deals. And they, I think, join with other food banks around the state to get some of the produce and fruits and vegetables
right
to everybody. So that's important. But some of the other non-perishable things that are suggested are on the screen, but things like canned tuna and chicken, peanut butter is always good, gravy mix, pumpkin, chicken broth, cereal, rice pasta.
Right.
This is all stuff you eat, right?
I was going to say, this dinner sponsored by Echo Food Bank. Right. Yeah, that's pretty much all I eat when I cook.
Okay. There you go. But that's what they're looking for. So, perfect. Well, there you are.
Very good.
That's what we have today, everybody.
I think
everybody.
We have a couple of, we have one announcement and then a special video presentation, right?
Oh, that's right. We do have the special video presentation.
Yes. So the announcement is, you know, as we speak about all of these big, hard to imagine numbers, you know, I do want to place a plug in for the Memorial for the Unclaimed.
Yes.
Which is happening Monday at 7 p.m. Obviously, we're not gathering in person. It will be virtual this year. It will be streaming on the Basin Health Company's Facebook and YouTube page.
Very good. And I'm glad you mentioned that because I was thinking about that the other day. And, you know, we talk about how tragic it is for these folks who have COVID, who've passed away, some of the times alone in a hotel or in a hospital, or maybe just with a FaceTime or a device, a loved one that can't be by their side. And then if you think about these other folks, the unclaimed, as you will, who pass away with nobody maybe around, no family, because no family has claimed their remains.
I mean, it's even more distressing than passing away alone. It's that you passed away and nobody was around to acknowledge it. So that was the motivation to do this last year.
Right.
Same thing this year. We will be reading those names, but we have the COVID element too to recognize our communal grief. And so my hope is that it would be, you know, a sacred service, but also, you know, a chance for people to. My hope is a catharsis that we can all stop and share in that moment.
Definitely.
So.
Well, and it's just, you know, but that's kind of what these folks are dealing with, pandemic or no pandemic, all the time.
Right.
These folks are alone. They have no family, at least no family that they're aware of, that we're aware of. And if they pass, there's no one left to honor them except for us. And we're going to do it.
Right.
You. And you invited me. So thank you to help on Monday.
Yes. So 7 p.m. on the Basin Health Company's YouTube and Facebook page.
There you go. We're going to end on a positive note today.
Yes. This is like a little special Christmas gift that we're going to end on.
The arrival of the COVID vaccine in San Juan County on Tuesday, as the mayor said. Again, kudos to the emergency management folks, the folks at San Juan Regional. But their folks, their frontline folks, are getting the vaccine. And so we have been able to share this video from San Juan Regional Medical Center. And we're very happy to share it with you this morning, everybody.
So San Juan Regional Medical Center has just received our vaccine from Pfizer. It's packed in dry ice. It's been GPS located and monitored the entire time. And now we here at San Juan Regional are going to put it in our freezer. This is monumental. This is history. Our grandkids and great-grandkids will all know about this day and when this wonderful vaccine became available to San Juan County, and this is it. We're living it.
I'm just cutting the box to free up the vaccine. This has been described by everybody as the pizza box, 9x9x2 inches. It contains 195 multi-dose vials. Each vial is enough to give 5 doses, so we're looking at 975 doses in this small box. Currently, this temperature is at minus 76 degrees centigrade.
These are designated for frontline workers. So we're talking hospital employees, we're talking EMS, first responders, and that who is going to be vaccinated first. We've lost some people here at San Juan Regional in our family. My personal family's been affected by COVID, and this means a great deal to me. I want our co-workers and our families to be safe. And this is just the first step, you guys. This is very, very important to me. So as nurses here at San Juan Regional, you guys have been working tirelessly since March. We've been battling. We've been waging a war. And I think it's a momentous day. It's the best Christmas present ever. Let's start out 2021 with a cure. I feel very safe with this vaccine. I think that in the past, vaccines took a long time, but just like our cell phone technology with vaccine research has has increased exponentially, and I feel very safe. I think this messenger RNA vaccine is very elegant, and I'm going to get it. I'm going to roll my sleeve up at the first opportunity, and I'm getting the vaccine. How about you?
To be honest with you, this day, personally to me, it's just send chills down my spine because it's been so exciting to get this and to know that we're on the road to recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic, and that's what it means. It's just a lot of heart and soul has gone into getting this here and done by many, many people throughout the whole healthcare network and the government and stuff, and I'm just appreciative for all the work everybody has done to do this. I'm only a small part of this.
But today has been a long time coming. You know, it's been a long 9-10 months of COVID response and working together with a fantastic team at Salmon Regional Medical Center. Very happy that we're able to begin administering this fantastic mRNA vaccine.
And so, with that, stay well, stay healthy, everybody. Merry Christmas, Megan Cullen.
Merry Christmas, Scott Micklin.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you as a co-host.
Sitting next to me for 40 weeks.
I know.
We'll keep going.
There was a time there where you were like the only person I was seeing.
Right. I
so,
understand.
Well, so that's awesome.
You
so,
hung in there.
I did.
I appreciate it. So everybody stay safe and well. We want to see you again in the new year as well. So enjoy your time with your family safely this holiday season. And we will join you in January on Thursday. Have a happy and healthy holiday season. Bye-bye, everyone.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.